as
Kof Ches Tishrei, Sunday the 30th of October, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Bovel and the Superiority of Loshon HaKodesh. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by family Silva, Leilu Nishmas, Rav Eliezer ben Rav Chaim Yisrael HaKohen Zecher Livrocho, Rav Chaim Yisrael ben Rav Yaakov HaKohen Zecher Livrocho.
Shalom aleichem, everyone. The topic is taken from Sedra, of course. With the Sedra after the novel, we had the problem of the
Torah program. That's why.
Start your day the Torah way.
And the we're told about a place called Vovel. It's taken its name from Havon Novlo. The Pasuk says we let mix up their language. So we see that the languages are all muddled, all languages, but they came Lechachila from the root language, which was Lashon HaKodesh. We said before, we don't call it Lashon Kadosha because it's not. The Lashon HaKodesh is not just a simple language like any other language, even if it's a holy language or a beautiful language. It is Lashon HaKodesh. It is, in essence, the holiness. It is the language of holiness. And from that, we see that Bovel developed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed up all the languages, and the Mefarshim suggest that all the languages are derived from Lashon HaKodesh in some shape or form. Just looking at the word Bovel, it's comprised of three letters, but there's always in the Shoyrish, there are three letters in the Shoyrish. That's the normal accepted view. Rashi holds it can be a one-letter root, there can be a two-letter root, or a three-letter root. It's not really an argument which has any particular ramifications, except that according to Rashi, the one letter can sometimes be the essence of the word, two letters also, whereas the other, the Spanish grammarians, they used to say you've got to get three letters, and sometimes a letter gets knocked off, like a hey or a vav, it gets syncopated or it gets removed, but the basic idea is there's a root. Now, even those who say that there's a three-letter root agree that the two letters are the ikka of any root, and the third letter slightly changes the meaning. We're going to see also that that every single letter has a root meaning as well, and that we will see in a second. But let's keep to Bovel for the start. Bovel's basic root is the Beis Lamed root, Beis Lamed. We see that from the Mabul. The Mabul is also a Beis Lamed root. And wherever you get Beis Lamed, you find it's talking about things which are nothingness, emptiness, and rubbish. Bilbul, Mabul, Hevel, Novol, and the two great jokers, Bolok and Bilom. But they also are Beis Lamed, because they were useless. Beli, Bilodai, etc., etc. I think I've probably talked about this before, very briefly. The question arises, in that case, why does the Chumash start with a Beis of Bereshis and finish with the Lamed of Yisrael? If it's emptiness and nothingness and rubbish, normally the beginning and the end have a message. So I thought about this, and I thought, well, let's have a look at Shas, Torah Shebaal Peh. Well, Shas starts off with the Mem of Me'e Mosai, and who can tell me what it finishes with?
Mem.
No, they're talking about Mishnah. So I'm talking about the Shas. Oh. Mishnah starts with the Mem, and the last letter of Nidor is the last is a Tof. Mem and Tof is Mace. So why on earth is it that Shas starts with the Mem and finishes with a Tof? But the answer is easy. The answer is that we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu libo boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted our lave, and therefore it has to have a lave. Lamed and Beis have got to enclose the Sefer, the Torah. And similarly, if you take the letters Tof and Mem, you get Tam, Tomim, Tmimus. Perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So what's going on here? The answer is very simple. If you learn like a novel, which is English, but the Hebrew novel means an idiot, if you do that, you will end up with nothing. A person who thinks he's finished, when he's finished with Zoysa Brocha and doesn't start Bereshis again, that will be Baal. It'll be, we'll be a waste of time. And similarly, a person who finishes Shas, I'm finished Shas, I've been a Shas mensch, I've done the Daf Yomi from beginning to end. That's no good. That would be a mess. It's a dead duck. Because basically, you've got to start over again and do Chazorah. The only time that when you, that you throw a sefer away is when it's a novel, a romance, a novel. You've read it, I know what's going on, I'm not going to look at it again. But the Torah, it's only good if you start and do Chazorah again. So therefore it isn't Beis Lamed, it's Lamed Beis, which is Leif, and similarly Mem Tov, which is Tam, which is Tumimus. That's a simple explanation of why it should be. It also happens to explain why in Shas, Chazal always called the Lav Baal to Acher, Baal to Shatzu, Baal this and Baal that and Baal the other. It's not, it's Al. The Torah says either Al or Lo. The difference between Al and Lo, but it's the same letters, whichever way it is. Why does the Shas always use the expression of Baal? Oh, Lashon Torah Luchud, Lashon Chacham Luchud. But there's no reason to change it. The answer is that Baal represents nothingness. A person who does a lav in the Torah is basically doing the mabul. He's doing a bilbul. He's doing bola, bala. He's just removing Yiddishkeit. So Chazal wanted to emphasize that factor by using the expression Baal Tiacher, Baal Tishaksu, rather than Al. So we see that Bovel and Bol and Mabul are all things of disaster and emptiness and rubbish. However, that we know that the Ikka of language is the Lashon HaKodesh. And I think I mentioned last time also, I think it's in, I think it might be in the Zohar or it might be in the Be'er Yisoscha, I can't remember the exact source. It says, Bereshis Bora Elokim Es. What was the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created? Not the Shemayim Voretz. There was something before the Shemayim Voretz. You can't have a Shemayim Voretz if you haven't got a language. You can go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, It's no good. It's got to be, there has to be a language. So Bereshis Bora Elokim Es. The first thing he created was Aleph Tetov. Aleph Tetov, which is the same as Osios, it's the same root letter. So that represents the original creation that Kodesh Baruch Hu made was the Lashon HaKodesh. And we know that, it says in the, Rashi says, Rashi mentions the Bereshis Rashis, and it also, it's Istakel Bioraisa Bora Almo. HaKodesh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah, but what is the Torah? The Torah is letters, it's language. So HaKodesh Baruch Hu looked at the letters, and from that he created the world. So we see that Lashon HaKodesh is superior to all the other languages in the sense that it was the original language with which HaKodesh Baruch Hu created the world. Just as an aside, we have a gentleman here, Mr. Michael Berman, who pointed out to me from the Kabbalistic Sephorim, which I don't have much access to, that he says that the Rishash, now we're not talking of the Rishash on Shas, which is Rabbi Shmuel Stassoon. He's talking of the Kabbalistic Shlomo Sharabi. He apparently says that when we say Baruch Ator, the Aleph Tov Hey is also very important in removing the Kitrug of Din. When we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachamim, and we've got to remove all the inyonim of din. And he says the word ator does that. How? Because aleph to tof is the osius, the aleph base, and the hey is the five final letters, menatz pach, the five final letters. So the ator, you have to have kavona, according to him, that when you say ator, you should be mechaven. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you remove the kitrug hadin, which comes to the world, because we would like rachamim in its place. And he goes on to say that aleph is 1,000, tof is 400, And the hay of Natsbach, which is particularly related to the Midasadin, the Natsbach for some reason is more Midasadin than the others, that if you take the gematria of Natsbach, you get 280, you can work it out, multiply that by hay, 5 times 280 is 1400, it's the same as Elef Tov. So the Atzor has all that in Kabbalistic ideology, which is not normally for us, but I mention it because we have a gentleman who... Shem Omer, maybe Gula Le'olam, if I say it in his name, and it's also interesting for those people who want to delve in Kabbalah. But now let's look at the letters themselves. So far we've talked about the generality of it. Every ois of the Aleph Beis has a special meaning by itself. It's not like an ABC or an Alpha, Beta, Gamma. Well, it just happens to be letters. No, every single letter of the Aleph Beis has a particularly important message. And you can do it, look at it from probably five different aspects, four or five different aspects on every letter. I've written them here. It will go quickly through the Aleph. I don't know how much time we have to. I've chosen just three letters to do. Maybe I thought we'd have time for that. If you take the letter Aleph, first of all, you've got to know what the meaning of the letter is. Why did Chazal choose the meaning? Why call it Aleph? It could be called A, it could be called Alpha. Why Aleph? Answer, because the Aleph is the essence of the particular letter. Now, in order to understand that, you've got to know what Aleph means elsewhere. Well, first of all, Aleph is the same as Elef, 1,000. In fact, Rabbeinu Bachya on the first Pasuk of Chumash tells us that there are 6 Alephs in the first Pasuk, and those Aleph in the first Pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Bria, he made 6 Aleph, which is 6,000 years. And therefore, the first Pasuk of Chumash has 6 letters Aleph because of that. Secondly, the main meaning of Aleph is Aleph, to teach. To teach, like I said, the Gemara says, Yal Fusa, Yal Finon. That's a distortion of the basic word. The Aleph changes to a Yud, and it becomes to teach. So we see that the Aleph of Yiddishkeit is learning and teaching. Limud, Torah, to learn. So that is Aleph. That's the first thing. Also, Aleph means Aluf. What's an Aluf? We're going to see in Aluf Esav, Aluf this. Aluf means a chieftain. It's the same message. Aleph is the most important. Well, it's the first. It's the chief. It's teaching us a big lesson. Aleph is also used for Alfe Bokor. That means powerful. The powerful horsepower. So it's not horsepower, it's bull power. But it's power. So we see that the Aleph has all these meanings, and that word was chosen because it signifies the letter Aleph.
Use the word alpha male.
Alpha?
Alpha male.
Male?
Today they speak
of alpha. Oh, yeah, alpha. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the alpha of Greek was taken from the Aleph of Arab. Right, now, that's the first aspect, that the Aleph incorporates all these things. The second thing you have to look at is the construction of the letter. Each letter is not just 1, 2, 3 or something. Each letter is built up. Now, how did the Aleph come to be constructed as it is? Answer, it's got a Vav and two Yuds. There's a little Yud here. If you look at the Chumash and the Sefer Torah and look at it, how it's meant to be spelled, not like we do cursive spritz, but the Ksav Ashuri, it's a Yud at the top, a Yud at the bottom, a Vav in the middle, and that represents, everybody knows, that represents the 26, which is the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya is remarkable Shem, but that is the main Shem which we're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to say either Yud Kei Vov Kei, or you're not allowed to Ahoge Shem Be'osios, etc. The Chov Vov is the most significant of the Shemas. There are Sheva Shemas, Sheinam Nimchokim, but the most significant is the Yud Kei Vov Kei, and that is in the Aleph, in the construction of the Aleph. Just by at the end, I've made a certain other notes as well regarding the Yud Kei Vov Kei. you should know that it goes 1820 times in Chumash, and that is the gematria of Bereishis, believe it or not. The gematria of Bereishis, both in with the Nigla, which is 913, and the Nista, which is 907. When I say Nista, I mean Beis is spelled Beis Yud Tov. So Beis is the 2, Yud Tov is 410. If you take the whole of Bereishis, you'll find that the Nigla, that's the Beis ratio, it's in the bottom of the sheet, you'll see I've written it out. It's got 913 for Bereishis, and 907 is the Nista. Together, it comes to 1820, and that's 1820 Shemus. It's already Merumas in the very first word of Chumash. Also, if you go to the 1820th letter of Chumash, you'll find it's the first Yud of Hashem, because it started off with Elokim, and Elokim is the whole of the Bris Aram with Elokim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shitef Rachamim El Midas Adin, as Rashi says, and that's the 1820th letter. What's less well known is that there are 1820 words in Musaf Rosh Hashanah for Nusach Ashkenaz, and there's 1820 words in the Haggadah starting from Holach Ma'anyo and ending up at Goal Yisroel. It's just remarkable what's there if you just try to find it. There's also other examples of 1820, is the difference between the count in Bamidbar and the count in Pinchas of Klal Yisrael, was 1820. That 1820 comes in many, many, many shapes and forms. And that is Bereishis. It's actually there at the Bries HaOlam. So we're seeing that the letter itself incorporates very, very major lessons. So we've talked about the name of the letter, and now we've talked about the construction of the letter. The third thing is every letter has a number. There's two numbers. One is the gematria number, 1 to 10 is Aleph to Yud, then 20, 30, etc., etc. That's the normal gematria number. What is the gematria number of Aleph? It's exactly 111. It's as if telling us, 3 times 1. It's not just once 1, it's 3 times 1, 1, 1. This is, make a mistake and think this is an accident. This letter is the topmost letter. It's the most important letter. It's the first letter. Not once, 3 times 1, 1, 1. That's Aleph, that's what it represents. So we see that it can be a nistar in every... I'm getting two things mixed up. The 111 is the nistar of the oath. I've gone to 4 rather than 3. I should have said Aleph is 1, because 1 is Shema Yisrael Shema Kamei Chod. Aleph is 1. Well, it doesn't need more explanation than that. It's the top thing. It's obvious. The number is 1. I mixed the 1 with the number 3, which is the actual number, with the nistar of the number, which is 111. So we've got, first of all, you've got to look at the name of the letter. Then you've got to look at the construction of the letter. Then you've got to look at the number, what its number is. Aleph is always 1, whichever way it is. And then you've come to the nista, that's the hidden gematria, other significances of the Aleph. The other way to do it, you have an anagram, anagrammatical. Take Aleph as an anagram, you get Pele. It's a Pele. Well, of course it's a Pele. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Pele. It's the most wonderful thing that's possible. So all that is in the letter Aleph. There's a fifth point as well, and that is this. I've been told, I haven't checked myself, but I have been told that the Baalei Kabbalah do say that where does the letter derive its koyach and power? We just said the letter Aleph, for example, has got what its powers are. Where does it derive it? It derives it from the very first time that the letter occurs in the Torah, in the Shoresh. So if you take Bereishis, you would leave the Beis out, because Beis is not the Shoresh. The Shoresh is Reish, Aleph, Shin. So the Reish is the first time it occurs. It refers to beginning. So therefore, we know that the basic meaning of the letter Reish is the beginning, Rosh. That is where, we know that that's what Reish stands for. What about Aleph? Anybody remember where the first Aleph in the Shoresh is?
Elokim.
Elokim. Bereshit bo Elokim. So therefore, Aleph represents godliness. It represents Yichud, as we said. So that we see that the first time that the letter occurs in the Chumash, that gives it its special significance, like we've seen with the Resh, and like we've seen with the Aleph.
The first time the Vav comes... That's right.
Yeah, tell you with the Vav, because before
that's
that,
Vav,
it's Vav. Yeah, it can't be before that. Yeah. That's right, because there's no Shodesh with the beginning with the Vav. So that's it. It's connecting. Right. So let's move now from the Aleph to the Lamed. And now, there's a particular reason why I chose the Lamed. First of all, the Aleph is the beginning of the first half of the Aleph base. The Lamed is the beginning of the second half of the Aleph base. The 22 letters. So, Yud is 10, Chof is 11, that's the first half. Lamed is the 12, which is the first half of the first letter of the second half. So they go together, the two halves of the Aleph base. So let's look at Lamed and see what we can see from that. First of all, we've got to look at the meaning. The meaning is perfectly obvious. Limud, just as Aleph represented learning and teaching. So Lamed refers to teaching, Lilmud and Lamed. So we see that the two letters, Aleph and Lamed, are in fact highly connected. The two halves of the Aleph base.
You go to... Sorry? Letter,
oh, we're coming to that. Wait. The second thing is the construction of the letter. If you look at what I've written here, number two, the Mivne, that's the structure, is Chof and Avov. Chof is again 26. It's again UK, just like the Aleph is two yuds and a vav, the Lamed, in the correct spelling of the correct construction of the Lamed, is like saying the Chumash, Chof with a vav. Chof vav is 26 again. So we see the connection again between the Aleph and the Lamed. And, like you said, the Lamed is the tallest letter of the Aleph base. Why? Because Limud is the most important thing. So therefore, it's again accentuating Lilmud ul-Lamed. You might ask, well, why isn't Aleph the tallest letter? But the answer is Aleph has got other significances of Yichud Hashem, etc. And that's its main lesson. Whereas the Lamed, the main lesson is the teaching. So that's why it's the tallest. Who? Yeah.
That
could also be like very good, possible, excellent. I'm not claiming an exclusive right to the explanations here. You're all entitled to, once you've got the picture, you must be marchiv it yourself. You've got to come to think of ideas to improve upon what is said. The main thing I'm trying to do is get the message across. Now, we've said the Lamed, we've talked about the meaning, we've talked about the construction. The next question is the number. What is Lamed? Well, Lamed is actually 30. That's the gematria number, 30. Where do we find 30 in Shas? Well, we find in Pirkei Avos that the 30 in ingredients for the Melech. The Melech, get Malchus, is Shloshim. There are 30 for a Melech. So already we see that the Lamed is Malchus, because the 30 represents Melech. That's one explanation. What else? The Lamed, of course, has got, it is Gematria 30, but in fact, if you look at its position in the Aleph base, it's actually, we just said, it is the 12th letter. Wait a second. Yud Chof is 11. Lamed is 12. Have I made a mistake here? I think I made a mistake. Yeah. Anyone can make mistakes.
No, base.
Misbah Sidri. Misbah Sidri. Yud is 10. Chof is 11. Lamed is 12, not 13. Sorry.
If you want to count the base.
Would you please alter your sheet? I did this very, very quickly last night. And I've made a mistake. So it's not 12. It's 12. But 12 represents the Shmotim. 12 is Klal Yisroel. So we've got a different meaning there. All right, sorry?
Bas Mitzvah.
A big one? Bas Mitzvah. Oh, well done. Well, your wife would be happy about that, yeah. So we see that there is a significance in the Misbah Sidri as well, the order of letters. But normally, you take the number of the Gematria, which in this case is 30. Right. So now, and then the fourth thing we said is the Nistar of Lamed. Well, Lamed is 74. 74 is Chochma with the Koilel. Chochma is 73, and with the Koilel you're allowed to have an extra one. So we see that Lamed and Limit, it represents Chochma as well. Right? But then perhaps the most significant of the Nistar is if you take Aleph and Lamed and put them together. Aleph and Lamed can make Kale. So what is, and Kale is the Almighty Hashem. Aleph was Echad, Lamed was Limit. You put them together and you get Kale. And by the same token you get Al. Why? Because Al means you know what not to do. And that's important. As we say in Havdolah, Im Das Oyin, Havdolah Min Oyin. In other words, it's important letters which teach us what we can do and what we can't do, and that brings to godliness. And similarly, El, two, to get into something. So Al and Lo and El and Kale are all in that particular combination. Right, so that's the Lamed and the Aleph. I've chosen one more to get the message home, because we did talk about the Gimel last time, about the missing Gimel in the Dovid Hashem Uri, and etc., etc. But the Gimel is actually fascinating. First of all, the name. Gimel represents Goy Mel, Gomel Chasodim Tovim, right? Gom is to bestow and grant something, to give something to somebody else. So the Gimel clearly has a significance of giving out. And it's also Gomel, a camel. What's the special thing about the camel? Well, a camel can have two humps. And it's also a gamol in Aramaic means a bridge. Gamla. It's a bridge. A connection between two areas. So we see that this gimel has somehow or other is giving to somebody else, giving to somebody else, creating a connection with somebody else. Yeah? It's transporting.
Gesher.
It's what?
Giving to the Dalet next.
We're talking the name of the letter. Yeah, it is. You're quite right. I mean, you want to say it's a bridge to the next letter. You could, yeah. Well, you the Gemara Nabonah is what you're referring to. We'll come to that in a second. But let's just do the four things. The second thing was the construction of the Gimel. Now, if you think about it, a Gimel is a sliding Vav with a little Yud on it. And the Mefarshim explained the Vov is this upright, strong person, the one who's connected with, he's got everything. But the Yud is either the Tzaddikim, as Rashi says, the Tzaddikim and Muatim, and that's why it was with a Yud, or it's somebody who's downtrodden, he hasn't got anything, he's a small chap. And the Vov comes and protects him. So therefore it's again a remez to the idea of Gemilas Chasodim, Goymer. That's the actual construction of the Gimel, is done in that way in order to give that message. Thirdly, what's the Gimel? Gimel is three, Mispar. Well, everybody knows that three is Chazaka. Anybody knows anything about geometry will know that the strongest shape that you can get is a triangle. Because a square, you can just push it. A circle will move around. But a triangle, you cannot budge it. It's stuck. And that's why three is a Chazaka. So somehow or other the Gimel is representing something which is strong and which is protective. And finally, the Gimel actually by itself is Chochmah. The Gimel, the Gematria of Gimel, without the Yud, Gimel Mem Lamed is 73, that's Chochmah. So we see the Nistar. And by the way, the first time the letter Gimel occurs in Chumash and the Shoresh is on Godol. So we see, it's a gedula. So what's going on with this Gimel? So for that we've got to look at the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, I'm going to read it out. You've got the whole sugya there, very, very fascinating sugya going through the whole of the Aleph Beis. But we'll do the part which is relevant to us. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bino. Learn understanding, intention, learn Torah basically, which is exactly what we said for the Aleph. We haven't dealt with the Beis this time. I left myself something for next time. But the Aleph is the Aleph. To learn. So the Gemara tells us that's what Aleph represents. Then it says, Gimel Dalas, Gemoil Dalim. The Gimel Dalad of the Aleph Beis is once you've learned Torah, you put that Torah to use by Gemilas Chesed, looking after other people. That's the essence of the Aleph Bino. You know, not just to become a clever guy yourself. It's to help others, to help the people who need it. That's the Tachlis of the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis Gimel Dalim. My timer, Pshuta Kare de Gimel Legabi Dalis. Why is the Gimel Pshuta Kare? Why is it facing the Dalit? If you look at the Gimel, it seems to be trying to get towards the next letter. It's in that direction, says the Gemara. The chain darkusha goimel chasodim lo roots acharadalim. The way it is that the person who wants to be a good and help will run after the poor people. He won't just wait till he comes to him. He will do things. He will do chesed. So that's the Gimel is showing it. And like we said before, it's like a bridge to the chesed. Dal. And then it goes further. In my time, a pshute kare de dalis legabi gimel. Why is the dalit facing the gimel? Now, here there's a machlokus in the Meforshim between the Ramban and the other Rishonim. What's pshat in this? The Gemara says that the leg of the dalis is facing towards the gimel, but it's not. So, but however, what the Ramban explains, that why is the Dalet, the large one on the right, and not on the left? It could have had the letter, they could have had the large side of the Dalet on the left. No, the Ramban says it's got to be close to the Gimel, because it's got to be near the Gimel. Others say that the Dalet is sort of pointed in the direction of the, right next to the Gimel, right close to the Gimel. And what's it say here? Because it is incumbent upon the Oni to make himself available to the other person. And why, therefore, is the Dalet facing in the other direction from the Gimel? Says the Gemara, it's teaching us how to do tzedakah. He's got to make himself available and helpful. It's more, you know, when you give tzedakah, you want to give. It's most irritating when the person asking for tzedakah sends you a letter and doesn't give his telephone number, doesn't give his address, doesn't give him where to send it, and you've got to try and find out where the guy is. Why should the person do it? There's a chesed of the recipient to make it available, all the protein that the giver will want. He's got to do that. So he's got to do his bit. But at the same time, when the person gives, he's got to give it betzino. The person shouldn't feel embarrassed. You don't do it in public. You take the person aside, you do it in such a way which it will be as little busha as possible. All that is in the Aleph Beis. And the Gemara is telling us that, and all the rest of the things we see from the Aleph Beis. I'm going to finish off. Oh, it's already late, I'm sorry. Though I started late, I just want to finish off with the Vort, which I've probably said before, but we've been talking about the Bracious and the 1820, etc. This is a Vort, which is a combination from what I heard from the Sasa of a Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, and also a Sephardi in Hechalea some years ago. If you take the Bracious, we said it was 1820, we discussed that, the actual gematria is 913, but the Nistar gematria, that's the base Yud Tov, etc., is 907. So the first word of Chumash, Bereishis, has a Nistar gematria of 907. What's the significance? Do you know there are two inyonim with 907? One, V'ahavto es Hashem Elokecho, 907. That's V'ahavto Hashem Elokecho, Avas Hashem. The mitzvah. The second posuk, which has got that, not a whole posuk, but a part of the posuk, Vohavto lerecho kamoicho ani Hashem. These two things, 907, are in Bereishis. The world was created Bereishis. The Nistar of Bereishis is teaching us that you have to have Avas Hashem by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, etc. But at the same time, Gimel Dalim, Aleph Bino Gimel Dalim. It's got to result in Ahavta L'Recho Kamoicho.